Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is, Thursday, November the 5th. I almost said October the 5th. It's November the 5th. Great to be with you. Okay, let me be honest. The message is a tough one today. There are times that, I get on the air, or I get prepared to go on the air with this program, and I think, man, I can't wait to deliver this comforting message to you today. You know, I get that feeling. But today I'm thinking, I think the Lord wants me to talk about something that I would rather not talk about, but I think it's a message I have to deliver. So that's what I'm going to do today. I urge you to stick around. You know, it's all good news. Whether or not it's a tough message, I'm going to be delivering a message from Jesus today. And that's never a bad thing, because honestly, he has to shake us up sometimes. You know what I mean? We can get complacent. We can become self-righteous, thinking that I'm doing so good. I'm a holy person. I'm a good person. I say my prayers. God must really love me because of what I do. God loves you no matter what. Let's be clear about that. But sometimes we tend to think that God might like us a little bit more than the other guy because of the good that we do. Well, today's message is something that shook me up. And when something shakes me up, I always feel compelled to share it. Because if it shakes me up, there's a good reason for that. And I needed to be shaken up. And therefore, I'm going to assume that you will need this message too. Because it's coming from Jesus. It's something that he's going to address, something that we can all fall victim to, no matter how hard we try to deny it, or no matter how hard we try to avoid it. He's going to be talking about something that will, that possibly affects each of us at some point in time. So that's what we will chat about today. I'm not going to tell you what it is until after we pray, but that's what it is. Okay, so I hope you're doing well. Man, it is a beautiful day here in southern New Jersey. The only thing that, and I'm surprised, I don't know where this came from, my allergies are really acting up today. So I might sound a little nasally on the show. I don't know why this is. It comes and it goes, and typically this is what happens to me sometimes. I had a good summer, very few problems with allergies, but last summer was rough. I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on, but if I sound stuffy, that's the reason. But it is a beautiful, beautiful day, considering it's November the 5th. Eileen and I were out taking a walk earlier. No coats necessary. It is just gorgeous. So, again, I hope you're having a good day. Hope you're not letting the craziness in the country right now, the whole election process, overwhelm you. Chill out. Relax. Keep praying. God's will be done. Understand that he is in control. That's the most important advice I can give you. No matter where you are, where your beliefs are, what you want to happen, God is in control. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do what you can. But it means that at some point in time, we all have to recognize we're not in charge. God is in charge. And sometimes, and this is not just election related, this is for life in general. Sometimes when it appears that terrible things are happening, or that your life is falling apart, God's at work. And he's allowing things to happen for a reason. You got to believe that. You really do. That is the only way you're ever going to be able to have peace in life, is if you accept the fact that when you are going through difficult times, God is at work, God is in control, and God is allowing what you're going through to happen for a reason. And if you have any doubt, take a look at the cross. And I think that's what we all need to remember. When we struggle, when we're going through these tough times, we almost have to get to the point, or not almost, we do have to get to the point where we just talk to ourselves and remind us of the fact that God is in control. God will bring good out of this. God's not going to let you go into a storm unless there is a potential of having that storm help you in some way. And when I say help you in some way, I'm not talking about help you to have an easy life or have abundant, a blessing of extravagant finances or anything material. I mean that help you in some way to get you to heaven, which ultimately is our greatest need and the greatest blessing that we can have, is to be able to live with God forever when our life on earth is done in heaven. That's when he allows us to go through these storms, he wants to draw us closer to himself. Now, that doesn't mean that experience will not result in greater peace, because it will. You grow close to God, your peace increases. And that's what happens. I'll tell you right now, a lot of craziness going on, obviously, and I'm peaceful. If I go back 10 years, things stressed me out a lot more. And this is not me. This is the fact that when you invite Jesus into your life and give him permission to work, which means you got to surrender control and let him work, there's going to be peace that will come from him. It's that supernatural peace. Every one of us can have that peace. But you've got to stop pushing. We've got to stop pushing, I should say. We've got to stop trying to be in control at all times, because guess what? We're not in control. We kid ourselves and we think we are. So when we finally let go and let God, as the old saying goes, give him a chance to work, then that peace we're looking for will come about. And ultimately doing that is the way we're going to get to heaven. So you go through a storm. God often does that to remind you that you're not in control and that he wants you to turn to him. I don't know about you, but most people, and I definitely am this way, pray a lot more heartily when you're in the middle of a crisis. We tend to find God when we're really struggling. And that's the way that we grow close to him. It's by stepping out in faith. And if everything is going great in your life, there's really no need for you to have faith in God or to turn to him. Because if you think you can handle your own problems, what do? You handle them. And that's why he lets us get into these jams sometimes. Because he wants to take over. He wants us to turn to him, to surrender our lives to him so that he can take over. He'll give us things to do, but he's going to do the bulk of the work. He's going to do the heavy lifting. He's going to handle the big stuff. And that's the way he wants it. And a lot of times he puts us in that situation where we have no choice but to turn to him. And he does that for a reason. So relax, have faith, trust in God, say your prayers, keep doing what you can. And I mean, that's with anything in life, that's good advice. Okay, so with that in mind, speaking of prayer, let's pray. Let's turn to Jesus today in prayers. A lot of times we pray to our Heavenly Father, but let's turn to Jesus today and ask him to give us what we need. Sound like a deal? All right, let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we know you see us. We know you're here with us. We know you love us. We know, Jesus, that you are all-powerful. You can do all things. There are a lot of problems right now that we're facing. A lot of concerns. Some big. Some not so big. Some gigantic. But all of these problems, no matter what they are, they have one thing in common. Jesus, they're no problem for you. That's what they have in common. All of our problems are very, for lack of a better word, handleable. I know that's not a word, Jesus, but forgive me. You can handle all of our problems with very little effort on your part. Lord, because you love us, because you can do all things, we give you all of our problems, all of our concerns, all of our needs, some of which we don't even know. Grant us what we need, Lord. Watch over us. Protect us. We entrust our family members to you. We entrust ourselves to you. Take care of us, Jesus. Send us a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit today. Fill us from head to toe with your powerful Spirit. Jesus, give me the words for this radio program, this podcast. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. I'm going to use your message today. I'm going to be quoting you. But let me know the extra things I'm supposed to say about it. I don't want this show to be about me. This show is about you. This is your message. Please use me, Jesus, as your instrument. And open, Lord, all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. Help us to hear and respond to what is spoken in the scripture that I'll read on the program today and through me. Jesus, we ask this in your powerful name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, now that we prayed, here we go. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. You know, over the past couple of days, I was struggling. There were times when it was time to do the show. And look, I share these things with you because I want you to know that sometimes I get tired too. I don't want you to beat yourself up because you might not always feel like praying, because you might not always feel God's love, because you might sometimes become discouraged. And you look at your life and you feel a little hopeless. It's okay. It's okay to feel all of those things. It's okay to feel, to not feel like praying sometimes. It's okay. You know, feelings are uncontrollable. Feelings or emotions or passions, whatever you want to call them, they are something that we technically can't control, right? We can't control the way we feel. But what we can control is what we do with those feelings. What we do with those feelings and how we respond. So when you don't feel like praying and you pray anyway, you're showing God how much you love him. It's just like with your kids, if you have kids, when they're sick and you have to take care of them, you don't want to, you're doing it out of love. Love's not a feeling. Although sometimes we have feelings with love, love is primarily a conscious decision. It's a choice. So a few days ago, I remember not really feeling. I always tell you I love doing the show, but some days I'm tired. I've got some work. I've got a book project I'm wrapping up right now. I've been a little tired lately. And there have been a few days that I thought, you know what, I wonder if I should just not do the show. I don't think I've missed one since I started this doing it, since I reintroduced Following the Truth. I brought it back sometime, and I think in March, during this pandemic, March or April possibly, I don't remember, of this year. I don't think I've missed one. But there's days when I don't feel like doing it. But I do it because I know you're listening. And even if you're not, you know, I don't know everybody who listens to this program. I've told you that before. I see an indication of the numbers, but I always say you're across the table from me, but here's a little secret. I really don't see you. I do feel your presence, though. But honestly, I do this program for God because I want to share his message. He's been so good to me. And he's shown me what a difference he's made in my life so many times, that I want to share his goodness with you, and I want to help you, because I don't want you to suffer needlessly. I want you to know how much God loves you. I want you to know that it's possible to bring him into your life, because a lot of people don't realize that. And together, we can grow closer to him, and we can get through life and end up in heaven. But in order to be authentic, I need to tell you sometimes that I don't always feel it. There are a lot of times I don't feel it. A lot of times I don't feel like writing either. But I do it because I want to be faithful to God. You know? So I say that to you. Don't beat yourself up if you're not feeling it, if you're a little stressed out. It's okay. But I also want to tell you that God's working in your situation, even if you don't feel like it. All right. And today's message is a bit rough, but I think it's a powerful one. And I think it's the one I'm supposed to speak about. So we're going to talk about it. Hey, by the way, more information about my work, if you need it, can be found at my website, followingthetruth.com. I noticed that the sales of my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, they're up today. And I'm not sure really why. They've been doing very well. Then they dipped for the past couple days. Now they're doing well today. I'm not sure what's going on. But if you haven't had a chance to get a copy of Let Go of Anger and Stress, now's the perfect time to get it. Because with all that's going on right now, it's I think it'll be very helpful. Head on over to followingthetruth.com. There's a link there that will take you to Amazon, and you can buy the book that way. Just to let you know, when you use the link from followingthetruth.com, it takes you, directly right to Amazon. Because it came from my website, Amazon tracks it, and I get a little tiny bit of a commission. That helps me. Every little bit helps. So if you're going to buy the book from Amazon, I would greatly appreciate it if you do it through my website, followingthetruth.com. Everything is the same once you get to Amazon, but just the fact that it came from my website helps me out a little bit. And again, every little bit helps because I am in full-time ministry. These are difficult times. I have no speaking work available right now due to the pandemic. Doesn't look like that's going to change anytime soon. So any donation or any extra income that I can get is critically important right now. So I thank you for that. Okay, so let's look at the gospel. This gospel comes from today's daily mass. It's from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And again, it's a tough message. Let me read it. We'll talk about it. But it involves taking a really close look at ourselves. When I heard these words today from Jesus, they kind of bothered me. And that's not a bad thing, because I need to be bothered sometimes. I need to be uncomfortable when I hear the message of Christ, because I tend to be a slacker. I tend to get a little complacent. Anyway, let me just read this to you. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Let me pause it right here, because Jesus is about to tell a couple of parables. But I want to address this, and I touched on this in my email devotional today, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. We have one message, the message of Jesus. Jesus is preaching. We have two groups of people who react to his message in a completely different way. The first group is the tax collectors and the sinners. These people are the outcasts. They're the ones nobody wants anything to do with. They're the ones who are just looked down upon. The sinners, the unworthy. They're not very popular. The tax collectors and the sinners. They were drawing near to listen to Jesus. They drew near. They heard Jesus preaching, and they wanted to get closer because they wanted to hear what he had to say. Now think about that. These people, nobody wants anything to do with. They hear Jesus, and they are open to his message. On the other hand, we have the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the religious folk. These are the people who are good. They're righteous. They're doing, at least in their mind, what God wants them to do. They're very strictly obeying the law of Moses. The Pharisees, the scribes. They, instead of drawing closer to Jesus to hear what he had to say, they began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." They didn't even want to hear what Jesus had to say. They focused on the fact that he was associating with sinners, and that bothered them. Why? Because they thought that sinners were unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus. Okay, so when you hear this, I want to challenge you, because I was challenged when I heard this. Which group do you belong to? Are you with the sinners and the tax collectors, the outcasts, the lowly? Or are you with the Pharisees, the scribes, the quote-unquote good people? I know which group I'm in. I'm in with the tax collectors and the sinners. But unfortunately, and I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I think I'm part of that other group. And I look at certain people, and we all have these people. They might be politicians. They might be family members. They might be friends. They might be people we read about on the internet, or see on TV. And we think, ugh, I'm glad I'm not like that person. I believe in God and I'm good. And yet, you know what? We have this tendency to overlook our sins. We are really good at that. I would invite you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, ask the Spirit today, enlighten me, Spirit. Show me the areas that have to improve. And then take a step back and tell Jesus how grateful you are that he's willing to associate with you. I think that's great, you know? I don't have to be important in the eyes of the world to be able to get an audience with Jesus. He died for my sins on the cross. I'm pretty important in his eyes. I think that's a great message, isn't it? But again, it's a tough one because we have to take a look at ourselves. We could all stand to improve in some way when it comes to authentically following Jesus, right? And not looking at certain people and writing them off and saying, oh, that person, they're never going to change. They're no good. No, we need to pray for that person. I need to remember that because I forget. There are people, especially some celebrities that I look at and I say, oh, gosh, I can't believe that person has that outlook. I can't believe they think that way. What a loser. You know what? Nobody's a loser in the eyes of Christ. I am ashamed of myself for thinking that. I should be praying for that person, right? But look, we all do it. We all slip up. I think we needed to hear Jesus say that to us today. So then Jesus, to address this comment by the Pharisees and the scribes, they're complaining. Jesus addressed this parable to them. He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Now, depending on how you look at this or where you view yourself, now remember, it's a little tough for me sometimes because I know I'm speaking to an audience who might be all over the place. You might view yourself as that sinner, that grave, grave sinner who is not worthy of God's love, which is a lie. You are worthy. Or you may view yourself as fortunate that you're not that sinner, which, you know, we got to be careful about because we are all that sinner. The point is, Jesus loves us. And there is a lot of rejoicing when we turn our lives around and we make the decision to surrender to Christ and to let him rule our lives and to repent of our sins. That causes a lot of rejoicing. And in that sense, this gospel passage is really good news for us today. Jesus tells another parable, or what woman, same idea, or what woman having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it. And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost. In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So the takeaway for us today, I think, is We matter. And so does that person who appears to be so lost that they don't know Jesus. Let's be thankful that we're that person, that we matter to him. And let's remember that that other person, that outcast, whoever that may be, matters to him just as much. And let's say a prayer for them. And maybe if we're able to reach out to them, let's do it, okay? So that's the message. It's a tough one. You know, this is, I guess it's a combination. It's a feel-good message in a sense, but it's also a wake-up call. Jesus has a funny way of being able to do that. I hope you enjoyed the program today. We are just about out of time. I want to remind you again that right now I'm critically in need of some additional donations. If you're able to help me out, help keep this program going and my full-time ministry, I'd be very grateful. If you're able to do it, you can do it by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. Whatever you can do to help out would be greatly appreciated. As I've told you before, I'm going to do what I can to keep doing this for as long as I can. And I'm grateful that you're able to spend this time with me. I really am. Thank you so much. I'm praying for you, and I would ask you to please pray for me. Pray for our country, for the division, for the craziness, for the unrest, and that more people will really turn to the Lord and really turn their lives over to him. And let's do what we can to make this world a better place too, okay? Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. In the meantime, I hope you have a great night. I look forward to being back with you here tomorrow, Friday. I mean, that's my plan. If the Lord decides that he's going to give me another day, I will be here. And there's going to be a chair at the table for you. I hope you'll be able to join me. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Remember, he loves you. You really do matter to him. And so do I. God bless you. See you next time.